Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
We continue again our discussion on the 7 attitudes that produce failure and how the wise should be careful to avoid these attitudes. Let's just review for a few minutes what we have said in previous times. Number one, we said that life is in parts. God created life and set it in parts. We can get direction for our destination. We may not know exactly the precise points that we are getting to in life, but we have a general idea of the direction we are going. For example, we may know from studying the word of God that we are heading towards good and not evil. Or if you are careful to analyze your life, you might discover that the things you have been doing are the things that make for a short life. Those things are possible from the scriptures. And that's what the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. It says, stand by the ways and seek. Ask for the good paths, all right, where people walked before, and you will find the rest for your souls. That is, you don't just start walking around in life and living your life carelessly. You ask questions. How should a young man keep his way pure? Alright, you study to know the word of God so that you have the right direction for your life. That's very important. And we said the paths of life are actually moral choices that we make. They are our attitudes towards life, attitude towards everything that we do. Those are the things we say are the paths of life. And I said I'm speaking about 7 different things which, when people practice, their lives are likely to end up in failure. And that a person who is desiring success, who is looking for the way of success, should be careful to avoid these things, alright? Of course, I said this may not be all the things there are, but these are the 7 things that the Holy Spirit has led my heart, alright, to want to teach us so that we'll be careful to avoid them. Amongst them are things like fear, arrogance and pride, things about lacking principles, and pride and covetousness and stuff like that. We'll develop them in detail. We'll only look at one of them, which is a matter of fear. And I already explained that fear is one thing that cripples us from receiving the blessing that God has planned for us. God expects us to begin to move forward even before we begin to see the manifestation of that, of the great and good things that He has planned for our lives. Fear prevents us from receiving it. And last time I talked about the 4 cures for fear, I said number one, we must know that God has a word for our lives. And that's when I talked about the promises of God. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we see when we read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31, as Moses was presenting Joshua before the people and giving him charge, he told him that, look, listen, this is your life. You must have a sense of destiny. God created you to help these people go in and possess the land. So we said, number two, you must have that sense of destiny, that you cannot just try to be safe and not fulfill the destiny that God has planned for your life. You must be careful that you do what is necessary to make sure your life counts for God. And while Moses was saying this to Joshua, he also told him, God will never leave you, He will never forsake you, He will be with you. Therefore, be strong and be courageous. Now, so we also added the fact that whatever be our fears in life, we must remember, like we're taught in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, to draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Alright, and find grace to help in the time of need. If there's cause for fear, take those things to God in prayer. That's the third cure for fear that I discussed. And last of all, I said there's a principle of if I perish, I perish. Just do that which is right and damn the consequences. Do you understand that point? Now, that's just where we are. Today, I want to go on to talk about the next one, and that's a matter of arrogance. Actually, I should put 2 words into that single principle, and the words are arrogance and pride. Those are 2 things also that make people become failures in life. And it's very important. Listen, I'm talking especially in this series to young people. People who are setting their course for life. Alright? I'm not expecting somebody who is 75 now to start changing his ways, though it is good. Alright? But I'm speaking specifically to young people. You are a teenager out there. Alright? You're in your early 20s. Your late 20s. You are there forming the direction for your life. Please be very careful about these things. The choices you make now. I wrote in that my book, Choices Key to Destiny. The choices you make now are the things that determine what your future will be like. Please, good doesn't come because you desire good. Good comes because you do the things that bring good in the direction of people. Listen, don't ever forget, those who have evil coming upon them did not ask for evil.
Do you follow? Those who failed did not ask for failure. They also were striving. Things just didn't turn out well. And I'm saying that the moral choices that we make, because the spiritual realm actually controls the physical, the moral choices that we make dictate the direction we are going in life, whether we'll go towards victory or we'll go towards defeat. This thing is very important. Therefore, watch out for these things that I'm saying. I'm talking about pride and arrogance. There's something about pride. It's very clear from the scriptures. The Bible says clearly that God resists the proud. You know, I said something last time that you see, when it comes to fear, when you are a fearful person, God is also your enemy. He said to Jeremiah in that Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, if you are afraid of them, then I will have to disgrace you before them. I am sending you to these people. He said, don't be afraid. Now, what I'm saying is that these attitudes we are talking about, these are the things that people do and God becomes their enemy. And I'm talking today about the issue of arrogance and pride. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. A proud man is a person who does not plan to succeed in life. There are two scriptures I will read to quickly just help us commence this discussion of the matter of pride. If you read from verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 29, it says, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now this scripture describes the man that is arrogant. You see, there's a slight difference between the man who is arrogant and the man who is proud. But because of what we are discussing, the two things have to be talked about together. Because a man who is proud ends up being arrogant. A man who is proud is one who believes that he's better than somebody else or better than other people. And the things that have come to him in life are results, all right, of this effort, are the results of his striving, or because he's inherently better than other people. That they say, I was born superior to you. I am a prince, you are not. Do you understand my point? People from my own part of the world, they are better than the people from your own part of the world. Do you get my point? That's what they call pride. In fact, the way I like to summarize pride is what you find when you read from the book of Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. There, Nebuchadnezzar was describing his life. The Bible says that he was walking around the roof of his palace one day. He looked and he reflected and he said to himself, is this not Babylon, the great Babylon, which I have built as a royal residence by the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? That is, whatever Babylon has become is something that I created it to become. I imagined it and I brought the thing forth. Yes, I am a great man. I am greater than other people. You know, there are people who think that, yes, because they are born in a certain family, they are actually better than those who are from other families. Those are the things that are called pride. There are things, people who think that they've gone to school, they are more educated than other people, therefore they are better than the other people. And when I'm talking about better now, they think they are inherently better. I am more intelligent than you, that's why you didn't go to school and get a good degree, and I went to school and I got a good degree. Let me just quickly say something, and this will kill a lot of people, all right, concerning the matter of pride. The Bible says that there is nothing you have that you have not received. A story I'd like to tell, many years ago, I was in school, I was a medical student, and we're going for campus evangelism. We're going to go from our main campus to one of our other campuses. And that will now walk towards the main gate of the campus. We're going to take vehicles that will convey us, all of us, down to where we're going. And as we're going, one of my friends was stopped. Somebody was calling him. So we pointed his attention and look, it appears like that guy on that motorbike, all right, like we say an Okada man, he's calling you. This person was my senior. And that time he was about to finish his training as a medical doctor. So he walked up to the person who was calling him. We were watching from a distance. Then we noticed the way he began to greet the fellow. They greeted themselves familiarly like old friends. They just said for a while, greeted themselves, and then he came back to where we were. And we said, who was that? He said, oh, that guy was my mate in secondary school, or was in primary school. He said, he was such a brilliant boy. He said, but he didn't have anybody to take his course of education up. So the boy ended up not going to school. He said, but he was very brilliant. Now, here was a man who in another 12 months would take an oath as a physician. He was talking to a man who was riding a bike, all right? Like an Okada man, trying to make ends meet. And they were classmates in primary school. And he testified that, listen, that guy was not dull. That guy was sharp. It's just that nobody, all right, paid his way through school. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, he testifying now, he's saying in effect, I am not better than that guy is. I just happen to have been born into a situation where people could pay my way through school. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You see, if I always say that A proud man is a stupid man and is an ignorant man. There is only somebody who is ignorant, all right, ever thinks of himself as inherently better than other people. But this point I'm just trying to use that one to define pride. But now this is the effect of pride. Those who are proud end up being arrogant because they think they are inherently better than other people. They are very difficult to correct. And that's why we refer this Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, that the Bible says that a man who hardens his heart after much reproof, you try to correct him, he doesn't accept correction. He said he will be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to me, if you want to fail in life, let your pride, your wrong esteem of yourself lead you to arrogance. What do I mean by arrogance? I cannot be corrected. If I have done it, it is the right way to do it. I know how to do it, and nobody can tell me nothing. I always tell young people, if they give you a position as a leader, all right, be very, very afraid. Don't think that you are good. That should send you down to prayer all the time. It should make you come down and be praying that God should help you. Because one of the things that I know that ruin young people is for people to give them titles that are beyond them. I like what Bishop Oyedepo said once. He was preaching in a place where I was present. He talked about titles. He said titles are very dangerous. That you see, when a man is living beyond his level, he's wearing shoes bigger than him. He said that's a bad thing. He said, but a man that you have given a title bigger than him, he says, it's like a man wearing an oversized cap that it covers his face, he cannot see the front. He doesn't have direction for life because you are giving him a title. So a young boy rises up after preaching for a few months and planting two churches, he takes on the title, I'm now a bishop. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? I'm not saying title is wrong, but just be sure you are deserving of the title that somebody is giving you. Because the problem with that is that when you go out and you meet people who should be able to help you and give you direction in life, your title tells you that you are superior to them. And therefore, you're unwilling to take correction from them. They are unable to impact into you that way they know that you do not know. And that is the danger about being arrogant. You have this chip on your shoulders. You think you know more than other people. There are people who have PhDs that they don't know as much as some people that have a BSc. Yet they think because they have that PhD, they should boss everybody around. Listen, if somebody has results, do you understand my point? If you see somebody who knows how to do something, ask him how he did it and stop asking about his credentials. That's something I like about Americans. If you're applying for a job in America, they don't want just your title, your list of certificates that you have acquired in school. You say, what do you think you can do? When you see an American write a CV, all right, when he's putting down his CV, it's usually a book because they demand that you write in details what you can do, what you have done, all right, and the results you have gotten from that which you did. So if you see a man who knows something that you don't know as evidenced by the results in his life, then be ready to learn. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? One of my young men the other day, who I teach the word of God, I went to my mechanic and I saw him there. He was walking with the mechanic. I said, what happened here? And I know him to be a holder of a bachelor's of engineering. All right, this was before his youth service. He said there was a message I preached and I described some things. Next day, he decided to go and join a good mechanic that he knew. He said, because I mentioned the mechanic's name. He said, this man knows a lot about cars. Yes, I have all the theory. I may have more book knowledge than he does, but since I love this job, I want to be an automotive engineer. I want to have shops repairing these modern-day cars. I have to go and learn the practical details first from a man who doesn't have my degrees. Are you getting my point? In fact, I made a joke of it that day. Something was wrong with my car, so he crawled under the car to go and fix something. So I kicked his leg. I said, so I can go back to Bible study and go and tell them I kicked your leg while you're under my car. We made a joke of it, but that is humility. There are those who call themselves engineers. They can't change the battery of a car, but they carry their B engineer, but they are going from one office to the other looking for a job when they can't do anything. Like I always say, the thing that's inside your soul, all right, it's smelling from your face. You just don't realize it. The aura about you is showing. That's why nobody wants to employ you. Because they know you're unteachable. That certificate you are carrying is the reason. Look, listen. You are probably the first in your village to get a university degree. So you think everybody should worship you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen. A man who wants to fail in life, he should allow his pride to carry him into being unteachable. And the Bible says that he will be destroyed suddenly and doubt without remedy. That scripture I refer to from Daniel chapter 4, when Nebuchadnezzar was healing himself,
He says, "Is this not Babylon the Great that I have built as a royal residence? I built it with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty." God said, "Here, you have made a great mistake." Meanwhile, Daniel had warned him about this thing ahead of time. Pride is a killer of men. It leads men into failure. And there was something that God did to Nebuchadnezzar I want all of us to understand. If you go and read that context of the scriptures, you see that after that, Nebuchadnezzar became insane. He was driven away from amongst men. He began to behave like an animal. Now, you see, that's not the lesson God wanted to teach him, that I can make you crazy. That was not the thing in contention. What God wanted to describe to Nebuchadnezzar, and that's a lesson for all of you listening to me today. What God wanted to describe to Nebuchadnezzar is that this Babylon was not built by the strength of your might, and it was not built for the glory of your majesty. How was it built? It was built because heaven rules in the affairs of men. God rules in the affairs of men, and he gives the kingdoms of men over to whomsoever he wishes. That is, Babylon was designed by God. That is, that city was given to you because of the strength that God gave to you. In fact, when Daniel was going to correct Belshazzar, that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he said, "God gave your father a name. He made him great. He conferred upon him greatness so that whosoever he willed, he killed, and whosoever he wished, he kept alive." That it was God that gave that to him. And he learned, now listen, he learned to honor and recognize that God. He said, "You, his son, have refused to honor that same God. Therefore, God will remove your kingdom away from you today." And that was when the handwriting on the wall came. I said, "This is the interpretation. Your kingdom has been numbered and has been brought to an end. You have been weighed upon a scale and you have been found wanting." Now, those are the things that Daniel told him. Now, how did Nebuchadnezzar, his father, learn this thing? And that's what we're talking about. It wasn't just that he became crazy, like I was saying. It was because while he was mad, for a period, the Bible says, of 7 seasons. Let's assume those were years. So, for a period of 7 years, this man was out of circulation. And in those seasons, Babylon became greater and he worked stronger, yet the king was not on seat. And by the time his sanity returned back to him, the kingdom was handed over back to him. That is, God made it clear to him that you did not build this place, I built it. That's why the Bible says to us, "What do you have that you have not received?" I like what the Bishop Oyedepo used to say. He said, "Life is not achievement, but a receivement." That is, it's what God gives to you. What do you have that you have not received? I see people every day. Because he's a professor, nobody can talk to him. He thinks that means he's better than other people. He forgets that it was human beings that conferred that title upon him. You were not born with it. Listen, he said, "You are naturally intelligent." Listen, if you have suffered, oh God, if you have suffered a birth injury, your brain could have been disturbed. So that for life, you can't think straight. That you did not suffer a birth injury is a reason, is enough for you to give glory to God. Do you understand my point? The Bible says that there is a point where the rich meet the poor. It says God is a maker of them all. That is, you are not inherently better than one other person. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. And listen to me. Therefore, you see, this is why, look, listen, this is one of the problems where Satan will just disturb people's lives and will not let them progress. You think that some things, life owes you. You just keep complaining. A graduate doesn't have a job. I always say that, who told you that a graduate must have a job? Anybody who wants to have a job should go and work. You say, "Pastor, what God do you mean by go and work?" Listen, if they don't employ you somewhere, find something for yourself to do. I always say that, you see, when people emigrate to other countries, in fact, a friend, a classmate of mine, who is a physician now in the United States, he said one of the things that they found out is, as the problems of immigrants into these advanced countries, is that issue of loss of status. Yearly status will change. A man who was an engineer or a lawyer in Nigeria, he gets to America and is absolutely nothing. And there's no paddy in the jungle. You got to eat. My brother, people who can't do certain things at home, they throw their pride away and they begin to work. They become all kinds of things, all kinds of menial jobs to keep body and soul together. If you hold on to your pride, hunger will beat you so bad, you will take the next flight and come back home. I always say, everyone says there's no job. I say, if you can do that in America, why can't you do it at home? You don't even have to sweep gutters. Are you getting my point? No. There are many other things that are more dignifying. You know, sometimes when I see people who go to beg, you are not sick, you are not crippled, there's nothing wrong with you. Why are you begging? He said, because you look for a job you don't have. I said, so,
You are lying. Because you see, if you are ready to work, there is no job that's not more honorable than begging. Yes. Listen, a man who is sweeping gutters has more dignity than the man who is begging and has stories to tell on why he should beg. A man who is washing cars, a man who is pushing barrow inside the market has more dignity than the guy who is begging. So anybody who can beg, as far as I'm concerned, is a man who is shameless. Do you follow the point I'm making? You have thrown your shame away because, you see, if you have thrown away the pride that's preventing you, oh God, listen, pride is the reason. People talk about open doors, they are begging God, this is my year of breakthrough. God said, I've been opening doors for you for the last 4 years. But this, your attachment to one piece of paper, is what will not let you take the open doors. And meanwhile, if you went to this America you have been worrying me about, the first thing you will do is to forget that paper. In fact, sometimes you'll be willing to travel with a fake name that will not allow you to use your certificate. So all the doors have been opening for you. You will never take it. Because you feel like, I am a university graduate. No, I can't do this kind of job. Are you getting my point? That is why, God is saying, that's why I've allowed you to hunger, that I might humble you. Listen, hunger is one thing that God uses to humble people. And listen to me, I'm going to talk about that. Don't ever be bitter or angry with people. And that time I was hungry. They did not come to help me. God said, listen, why should they come to help you? I did not let them help you. I wanted you to learn your lesson. Do you follow the point I'm making? I wanted to get up from where you are sitting down, always phoning people, phoning your uncle. Oh, things are awful. Meanwhile, in front of you every day. Alright? People are offloading cement. And you have muscles. They are making money and they are not begging anybody. Right in front of you every day. People are opening small shops and doing small businesses. But yes, you've gotten a certificate now, you can't do anything. Listen to me. Pride is the reason why you won't do well in life. What is pride? I'm too big for this. I'm too big for that. Meanwhile, you have not achieved anything. The Bible says you should not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. There's a level you ought to think. And that is dependent, that is determined by what you have achieved. You know what I mean by what you have achieved? That is, I have started a big business. I have done big work. I have created something positive in the society. If it's just certificate you have, forget it too. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. I've thought about what is economics or what is the economy of a nation. I say nation is poor, nation is rich. What is, I thought about all of those things, is the productivity of the people. Everybody is waiting, hanging, looking out for jobs. Let somebody else create something and let me come and work there. When they don't give you the job, you say, there's no job. Listen, but you can be productive. Remember then when I did the series, Creating the Opportunities for Prosperity, I said, what is a job? A job is the opportunity that you have to use your gifts and your abilities and your skills to bless somebody. Do you get the point I'm making? I remember those days when I was in Lagos. Went for an NMA dinner once, Nigerian Medical Association. And to my surprise, the guy who played music for the night, they told me it was one of our colleagues. To my amazement, he had a band. And this guy was blasting away his music. He had a trumpet. He was singing. Look, in fact, it was the night, for those of you who remember, it was the night we beat Argentina to win the gold medal in Atlanta 96, if you remember. So at the end, that day when we won, we were all at the event when the match was going on. He composed a song right there and then to celebrate our victory over Argentina. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, that's the way it is. This is the point I'm making. He had a skill. He didn't say, because now I've gotten a degree, MBBS, Bachelor of Medicine, Bachelor of Surgery, I will abandon it. No, he was still an entertainer. Please get what I'm going to explain. What is a job? It is that through which I can use my gift to bless somebody else's life. Through which I can transform my society. Pride and arrogance is one reason you will overlook the great doors that God is opening for you. What are the reasons why people are proud? A lot of people have different reasons for being proud, like I've been saying. They have their certificates. Some, my father was rich, so what? You are not. Are you following the point I'm making? You cannot depend on the fact that your father had money. And you think that makes you more important than other people? No, you are not. We are all created by God, and there is nothing that you have experienced till now that God didn't give to you. And if you don't recognize that by giving him thanks, and giving thanks not just to lift up your hands, that is one, very important. But by recognizing that other people who don't have those things that you have, it's not because they are inferior to you intrinsically. It's just because God hasn't given them yet. To whom much is given, much is expected. Just use your current office to do more good than those who don't have that high level of office. You're not inherently better. Do you get the point I'm making? People are proud for many reasons, like I said. And for me, as far as I'm concerned, the most important reason why somebody is proud is because the person is ignorant and the person is basically stupid. But before I close today, I'd like to just talk about the cure for pride again. Because last time we talked about the cure for fear, and today I want to talk about the cure for pride. First, what are the symptoms? How do you, because you see, pride is interesting. It's different from fear. The man who's afraid knows he's afraid. The man who's proud may not know he's proud. In fact, any man that tells you, I think I am proud, he's already on his way out of pride, or was never, he's just a humble man who's afraid of being proud. The man who's really proud doesn't really think he's proud. Therefore, I think it's very important that I give us clues to identify, am I a proud person or am I not a proud person? Listen, if you think you are the one that's always right, check it, you probably are proud. Now, there are times in which you are right and everybody is wrong. But when you are always right and you always have reason, but like somebody said, you go to an office, everybody here is crazy. In fact, everybody is wrong apart from me. That's the problem. You're a proud man. When you start seeing, when somebody wants to shake you and you look at the clothes he's wearing, that's pride. You go to church, the usher did not talk to you properly. You're a proud man. Do you get the point I'm making? Somebody gives you a gift and you think it is too small for your status. You're a proud man. A gift is a gift. It's acceptable according to what a man has. That's what he has and he gave it to you. These are a few symptoms of pride. And most importantly, if people think you are proud, I have noticed that in this society, in this our world, the chances are that you are proud. Don't explain it away. I've had people that, look, I'm sure you know one or two examples. Everybody knows that guy is arrogant. They usually don't tell him, but usually you have a friend or two who don't give a damn. They are not afraid of you. They tell it to your face. You are an arrogant person. Listen, if you find that out, please, it is likely they are right. Don't start shouting and arguing. Do you understand the point I'm making? What do you do? That's what I'm talking about, the cure for pride. It's prayer. Listen, I'm happy I'm a preacher. That is, I preach the word of God. I say to the cities of Zion, behold your God, because there is no help for anybody apart from in God. You cannot by yourself decide, I will not be proud again. No. Listen, if you can decide like that, you're never proud in the first place. But what you can do, you want to receive help? You go to God in prayer and say, Father God, by the testimonies of many people, it has come to me. And by when I heard your word, it has come to me that I am proud. Therefore, I have come to you for help. I am humbling myself before you. Treat my heart, O God, and remove every hurtful thing, every wrong thing that is inside. Listen, you have to do that before God comes on your case personally. What am I saying? Go and read our story again from that Daniel chapter 4. When Nebuchadnezzar was warned about his pride and he did nothing about it, God personally humbled him. And when God is humbling a man, it's a very painful process. And peradventure, you are in the position right now where God is humbling you. Don't feel too bad. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. Because when God has humbled a man, then he will elevate him in due time. What do I mean by God is humbling a man? You were the best in your class, no doubt about it. For all the worst results, yes, you had the best. But what's going on right now? All your classmates are in university, you have not gotten anything. When you were leaving the university, you almost got a first class. But look at it right now. U service, nobody agree you go. Or you finish U service, job uncle, nobody's giving to you. Those who have grades inferior to yours, they've gotten jobs. They start telling stories. It is because they know people. Listen to me. Then you don't know anybody at all. You don't even know God. What do? You humble yourself. When God has shown you all these signs, say, God, come bless me. Bless my heart. I humble myself before you. Remove pride from me. Remove arrogance. Lord, I want to know you. I want to listen. If you are listening to me, the first thing you need to do, listen, you must remove arrogance concerning sin. Sin is poison. You are listening to me? The first thing you do is to have Jesus cleanse all the sins of your life. Say, Jesus, wash me by the precious blood that was shed on Calvary. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.